Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Top of the morning to you, April the 4th, 2026. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, right here in the Twin Cities. Scott Wolmering, and I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. This is a live real estate show. We're here every Saturday morning at WCCO, downtown Minneapolis, in the studio, welcoming your questions, comments, thoughts, 612-294-6949. You can interrupt us at any point with anything real estate related or non-real estate related. Scott, good morning to you there, buddy.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like Ryan said, Minnesota Real Estate Show, we've been doing this for 20-plus years. Live and local every Saturday, downtown Minneapolis. That's where we're at today. Love your comments and feedback during the entire show. You can just, any social media network where you're following us, you can just type them in. We'll handle them as they come. Or if you're brave enough, you can call 612-294-6949 and go live on air with us, or you can text us to that number and we will handle your questions as they come.
Yeah, a lot going on in the mortgage world. Mike Overson, Luminate, good morning to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Ryan.
Nice to see you as always.
Good to see you.
Lot going on there. Hasn't been great news with kind of everything going on, obviously, in the world from a mortgage standpoint.
Not great. Not terrible either, though, if you ask me, or to be honest with you. Have rates gone up since this stuff in Iran has happened? Yes, they've gone up. However, this last week, if we look at literally Monday through Friday this last week, the market has gotten better and rates have started to trend downward again. So there was a four-week run there where they were just day by day, just slowly going up. Now this whole last week, they've had the trend of where they're going down. So we'll see where it goes here this next week. I mean, once if we can get some sort of peace or agreement over there, our rates, I think, are going to go up back underneath six like they were. Right now, you're sitting at, you know, 6.375, 6.25-ish, somewhere in there. So it's not terrible at all.
No, it's not. Well, and people need to remember that. I mean, when they hear six now, they just shriek, oh my gosh, you know, rates are still high. That's the average over the last 40 years, right? It's about right around 6%.
Actually, it's 8.25.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, when I got in the business in 98, I know rates were right around 8-something. And, you know, I was too dumb to even know if it mattered. So you just sold real estate. It's like, didn't even enter in at that time. And now I think with the internet, I think people are a little bit more in tune to it now than they were probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, Scott and I were talking when he started in the business in 72. we were talking last night about for those that, again, have been selling real estate for a while, we all used to have BlackBerries.
Yes, I watched the BlackBerry movie.
Yeah, the BlackBerry was the way to communicate. Ryan, did you ever have a BlackBerry there, young man?
I was too young. I was never cool enough for a BlackBerry, but some folks I went with high school with did have one. I'm like, what do you need this for? Like, you need all these buttons for? It was too much for me. I had a Razor. That was my favorite.
Ooh, a Razor.
Old school phone.
Well, and how old were you in 2007?
In 2007, I was like 14, 13.
Yeah, so 2007 is when the iPhone came out. So this BlackBerry movie, I told Ryan you need to watch it because they had 60% of the cell phone market. And then when Steve Jobs went up in 2007 and said, hey, look at this cool phone, he was in that audience. And he's like, we are done. And they went from owning everything to being bankrupt in like a week. I mean, it just ate them up.
Mike, what I liked about the BlackBerry is just the being able to type quickly on it and also accurately. It was a hard transition for a lot of us BlackBerry users to go from that to a screen, typing on a screen.
Well, and the click. Remember the BlackBerry? Yeah. You had the BlackBerry click yeah. When you type.
Like physical buttons.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Did you have one, Mike?
I did. I think I had one for a hot second there, too. I remember the slider phone. It was big. Do you guys remember the slider phone?
Oh, yeah. It's the Sidekick.
Well, we had the Sidekick. We had the Sidekick. To this day, we're totally off real estate now, but the Sidekick to this day is my favorite texting phone I've ever had. I still like that better.
Quick, from an accuracy standpoint, hey, before the first break, again, real estate update, mortgage update, real estate new listings down, guys, in the Twin Cities. 1,293 new properties came on the market. Pending sales down 5.5% year over year, 934 accepted purchase agreements. And the inventory is still increasing a little bit. There's almost 4% more homes for sale in the Twin Cities. 8,460. Still very historically low. Days on market is remaining flat at 69 days on market. Mike, I can see you're reacting there.
Yeah, I mean, even though you hear that, you know, inventory's up 4%.
Up 4%? Oh, my gosh.
8,400 homes? Yeah. Like, come on.
Nothing on the market. Again, for those that have not caught the show a zillion times over the years, about 18,000, 19,000 is balanced in the Twin Cities. So 8,000 is still the third best seller's market that we've ever seen on the planet here in Minnesota. So great time to sell out there. And, you know, people would say, well, then why would it be a decent time to buy right now? Well, I'll tell you what, with the war happening, there's been people, everybody's hit the brakes a little bit. You're not getting 15 offers on everything. Everyone's slowing their roll a little bit. So if you're a buyer that does not have anything to sell, right now is where you want to be. You want to be in making offers on properties right now.
Yeah, your competition is less. Right now, if you're a buyer, you're competing against less people, right? You're in a tournament now with maybe three other people versus in a tournament with 12 other people.
That's right.
Yep. And what's hard, too, again, as you're hearing this, is certain areas and price ranges and types of properties are experiencing some slowdown, obviously by city, perhaps by type of property. The condo market has been tougher. The townhome market has been a little bit tougher as well. And certain pockets of the Twin Cities, and especially having Brad on from an insurance standpoint, Mike, with condos, townhomes, that market has been tougher, guys.
Yeah, it has. Well, the insurance part of the condo market has really been the hard thing. Can it get insured? Do you have to take, what is it called, a 1009 policy or something like that?
HO6?
HO6, that's right, yeah.
the old 1009 policy.
You get the gist of what I'm saying. It's got to be attached. Right. That's holding it up.
I mean, great information.
I can never remember all the things. But hey, speaking of things, this will be a little fun thing. I should have told you guys before the show. But we're gonna do two lies and a truth to get to know the panel. So two lies and a truth about Ryan, two lies and a truth about you, Brad, and me. So we can all think about that as we progress through the show. Maybe we'll do it after the second break.
Get to know the panel.
Get to know the panel, guys.
We're going to get to know each other. Hey, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We welcome your questions, comments, thoughts. We've got some listings of the Minnesota Real Estate team that we're going to be featuring here right after the break as well. Don't hesitate to interrupt us. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hope you and your families are having a nice start to this weekend. I wanted to touch on a featured listing here, and I had the good fortune actually this week of talking to our sellers on this property, a lovely couple, very nice couple. This property's in Lakeville, 18610 Jonesboro Court, number 205, 18610 Jonesboro Court. It is a townhome. It's listed for $312,900. This is listed with Laura and Tolek on the team. Scott, it's beautiful. It's like new. It's 2018 built. It's in the heart of Lakeville. It's got an open floor plan. Lots of light, a large maintenance-free deck, great for entertaining. The kitchen has walnut-stained cabinets with soft-closed doors, a nice center island, stainless steel appliances, large bedrooms, each with their own walk-in closet, ceiling fan, a full bathroom with dual vanity and an upper-level laundry room. And then there's an extra deep garage that's sheetrock and finished, lower level, has lots of storage as well and a radon system for peace of mind. Scott, it's in the highly rated Lakeville 194 School District. $312,900 for the price on this one. As you look at the pictures as well, really a nice looking property, Scott. Nice looking property. You know that development too.
Yeah. I've sold one in there in the last year. Great neighborhood. Prime location, just right off Target, right off the highway off 35 there. So it's a great spot. And they're newer, and Laura's a great agent. That won't get moved. I've got a new one coming in, 16461 Equestrian Trail in Lakeville. It's actually District 196 School District. It is a Robert Thomas-built Rambler, very hard to find, right around the 700 price range. We're going to go coming soon on Monday, and so it's going to be right around the 700 price range. But over 3,300 square feet, built by Robert Thomas, excellent lot. three-car garage, everything you'd expect in that price range. And it's in the Spirit neighborhood, so you've got the pool and the clubhouse and all the walking paths. Just a really cool area. This will go very quickly, so pay attention for that. 16461 Equestrian Trail. And that will be coming soon, Monday or Tuesday.
Does that have an HO6 policy?
That one's buttoned up. I went in and met with the board beforehand. We got the HO6, tied it with the 1009. We're all good.
Hey, you know what time it is, Scott? It is the time for the 1 minute of hope from the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Just wanted to share a story this week. Met a wonderful couple. Felix recently went to the doctor, guys. He had some shoulder pain. He received a life-altering diagnosis, multiple myeloma. He's now in treatment, unable to work. Cassandra, his wife, had to step away from her job to care for him full-time as they prepare for ongoing treatments. At the Mayo Clinic, both of them are out of work. Of course, the financial strain quickly became overwhelming. Yet through it all, they've shown incredible strength and faith. They are truly wonderful people. Thanks to you all, your continued generosity, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope was able to help step in, cover 1 month's rent, giving them a little space to focus on healing and what matters most, his health and their time together. We're all praying for Felix and their family during this fight. Thank you to everybody again for being a part of bringing hope when it's needed most. To get or give hope, visit O'NeillHope.org/get help. There's a picture. We met them recently, a wonderful couple, very inspiring. Nobody wants that. You got shoulder pain and a cancer diagnosis, Scott, but just an inspiring guy, and we're honored to meet him.
Yeah, so sad, and that's the kind of stuff that you guys do on a daily basis that is just so cool. I mean, if you are in the giving mood and you're looking for a charity, this is the best one that I've come across. You know where all the money's going to. It's going to local people that need help immediately. What do you say, 2-3 people a week you're helping, families
a
week?
Yep.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, we appreciate the support. The Minute of Hope, O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance, is with us here today. We were talking a little bit during social media. Last time there was a question regarding fires, Brad, when you were on air. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I always talk to my wife after I'm on the air and say, what'd you think, honey? Did I need to speak louder? Did I do okay? You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was kind of self-analyzing my answer for fire. Mike came up with one that even my research didn't come up with. So, but I thought what I would do is elaborate on how to prevent fires a little bit more.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more. Again, obviously something no one wants to experience, go through. With, again, whether you're living in a home, an apartment, whatever it is, talk to us.
So smoke alarms are the number one. Make sure that they are working. Make sure that you test the batteries every month, replace them every year. And then an interesting thing that I was reading is replacing the smoke alarms and the carbon monoxide testers or those instruments every 10 years. And the consensus is that the technology is changing. It can sense things better and quicker and those kinds of things. So changing it every 10 years, if your house allows that, is a big add, a big thing that you can do to help prevent fires. When I was on last time, there was things that were obvious that I thought everybody would know, like not keeping combustibles in your kitchen, not leaving the kitchen when you're cooking, those types of things. Having a fire extinguisher in your kitchen, making sure that it works. That stuff in there gets caked sometimes if you just leave it for years, so you'd have to replace it, check it every year, make sure that it's still working and those types of things. When I was looking at the research here, I looked around my office and I had like 4 things plugged into 1 outlet. And I thought, well, that's not good. Mm-hmm. So I went out and got an extension cord and a power strip, and I put them in there to make sure that you are checking the wires, making sure that if they're old and frayed, you know how when you're on your phone and you got your power cord that you're powering it, if you press it against your body, it bends and it starts to break the plastic, and then the wires are exposed. It's the same thing with things that are plugged into your wall. Make sure that they're good.
Hey, we had a texter, Mike, maybe you can comment on this, just said, hey guys, about the interest rates, 6.5% is not too bad for real estate. However, it's the tariffs on inputs for real estate, lumber, copper, concrete, aluminum, steel, etc. Now oil, too many bad policies will hurt the business.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw gas prices went up, yep. Interest rates went up a little bit, and when gas prices go up, that affects everything, yep. Groceries and all that stuff, because you got to get those goods somewhere, and if it costs more in gas to get those goods to the retailers and stuff, that's going to go up in price. So it's kind of a snowball effect. So even though interest rates really didn't go up that much, you just have these other ancillary costs that went up. So once one thing starts going down, they all start going down, then everyone jumps back into the pool.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you go to war, things are going to be expensive. Things are going to be expensive. I don't think there's ever been a war we've been in where it's been anything but. So the only thing that we can, I mean, I've been, you know, Ryan knows this, I've been putting on listings for the last couple of weeks to find out what's going to happen with the war. Because, of course, when the war does conclude, prices are going to come back down, oil is going to be less expensive, et cetera, et cetera. Interest rates are going to come down. And we are going to be putting these homes on the market here starting, because I think we don't really have a definite this is going to be done in a week or 2 weeks. Really, nobody knows at this point. And so, but it does affect everything.
This is a question too, Brad, going back to the fire hazard, leaving things plugged in, like a coffee maker, different things. Is a fire hazard with that? In other words, maybe you've got a coffee maker, different things, leaving it plugged in?
Yeah, because, you know, electricity goes to the unit if you leave it plugged in, and if it's getting older, it could overcome the appliance, the unit, that kind of a thing. So I know my wife unplugs everything that she leaves on the counter.
Oh, I was just going to say, so does anybody here unplug their stuff? Do you unplug your stuff?
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
Does anybody not?
I mean, yes, really? You use a toaster in the morning, and then you unplug the toaster.
Rye, what do you
get coffee? He does not do it.
Rye does.
I don't like leaving things charging when I'm not home. I have a phobia with that. If it's charging, then I will unplug that.
But your coffee pot is plugged in.
Coffee pot's plugged in right now. Yeah, that's
my wife leaves the coffee pot plugged in, but the toaster, like when I see the toaster plugged into the wall and no one's in the kitchen, I go by and unplug it.
I unplug it too.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm in the minority.
Well, because you hear, Brad, a lot of stories of things shorting, fires starting that way.
Absolutely. I hear them every year. They have, for Insurance Journal, they have all these articles on there, and they talk about things like that happening. I mean, I'm bad, though, because my kids will leave lights on, and there's no one around. And I'll turn the light switch off, so I'm probably one of those.
But do you have like everybody's got their own gas rag basket, right? Where like when you're using rags with gas on an oil, you just throw it in a basket, right? Does everybody use that?
No one's responding, Scott. No,
those fuels could mix and cause a fire.
No, so, really? Yeah, is that called combustible?
Yeah. It is interesting, though, when we're talking about, again, prevention.
So why is Ryan the only one that gets my humor?
That's sarcastic.
Yes. Right next to the toaster.
It's right next to the toaster that's plugged in, yes.
Yep. Scott's
out there smoking cigarette. Getting his gas rags put in the right spot.
Ryan's a kind soul. He's there kind of, yeah, you know, looking right at each other.
Everybody's right. Everyone's correct.
Everyone's right.
You know, it is an interesting time, though, when we think about, again, from a buyer's standpoint and looking to purchase. Mike, you are seeing, again, volume of activity. Just, again, are you seeing as many pre-approvals from buyers, people in the market wanting to buy compared to last year?
Yeah, applications are still coming in.
Yeah.
For sure, right? So still a busy week with applications. They're all coming in. Now, do we have a whole backlog of pre-approved buyers that are out there looking that a lot of them have maybe pushed pause for a hot second here? Yeah, absolutely, that has happened. But applications are still coming in. People are still preparing to buy. Like as soon as rates start coming back down and this thing calms down, everyone's going to jump back in. It's going to be very, very competitive again. So to Scott's point earlier, if you're a buyer and you've been competing against every single house, like these next few weeks actually might be a decent chance for you to get out there and compete against a lot less people.
Absolutely. If you don't have anything to sell and you're just a buyer, you should be aggressively in the market right now.
Yeah, we're at the halfway point of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. 612-294-6949 is how you can join us each week. Linda Hipp has a listing in Cologne, a new listing, 11105 150th Street in Cologne for $400,000. This is a one-owner, one-and-a-half-story home. It's on 3 scenic acres in Cologne. It's a rare opportunity to own, Linda says, a well-built property with room to grow. four-bed, three-bath, built in 1971. It showcases the kind of craftsmanship you often don't find today. Generous living spaces inside, functional layout. You've got an unfinished basement, provides additional potential for future living space. Again, 3 acres. The property has privacy, open space, flexibility to enjoy country living. Just minutes from town, and it's a two-car garage. It adds convenience, and the Waconia School bus stop is located at the end of 150th Street. Makes your daily routine easy. 11105 150th Street in Cologne. Linda Hipp has that one listed with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. Be sure to check that out. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Have another listing to touch on. Sue Marty has this one listed in Corcoran, 19325 103rd Avenue in Corcoran for $549,900. This is a 55-plus community, and it's a two-bed, two-bath slab home. It's got over $40,000 in updates and upgrades on a premium lot. The primary suite is exceptional with a walk-in closet, extra-large shower, white cabinetry, quartz countertops, soft closed doors. Again, that one is 19325 103rd Avenue in Corcoran. Mike, I can see you nodding on that one.
So, question for you guys. So, if I'm 52 years old,
yep,
can I sneak in and get into a 55-plus community? Like, how are they policing that age requirement?
Well, you have to use an ID. So most women cannot buy in the 55 and older because they don't have valid IDs.
Yeah. Yep.
And
what?
That's a side. It's a side. That's what's going around right now with the whole voting thing. It's a side deal.
Oh.
But no, yeah.
Like,
but
you. Do but I you. Something here.
You do have to show. You do actually have to. You have to show an ID.
Oh, you do.
You okay. Do have to be 55 and older to buy in there.
So, like there's an association, I would imagine, and you got to provide actually documentation to show that you are 55 and older.
Correct.
Okay.
If you get carded. They don't card me. I can go buy wherever I want.
Well, one thing I would be aware of, though, and part of what is a big selling and buying issue for some townhomes and condos is, again, you have to remember there's a homeowners association and there's a board that has rules regarding pets, regarding rentals, regarding all types of things. I was on a homeowners association board for a couple years. Ryan,
you were the president.
I was the president of the board. I did my best to unite the warring parties on both sides, and I'll tell you, it was a small act of God, and I was not totally successful with it. So I have since moved on. But just be aware of it. You're buying it. It doesn't mean it's a bad. Again, there's a lot of wonderful condos and townhomes. You just got to know there's a board involved. There's an HOA. So that's what we're talking about.
What if you're getting advertising from AARP? Does that qualify?
Does not. No.
No. It's, you know, when Ryan was the president of that board, we talked pretty much every day shortly. But during that time, I had more. Hey, dude, I need to call and talk to you about something. So what's going on with the board? Well, Josie, who's 84 years old, wants to put two tulips in the front of her house, and the rest of the residents want to kill her, so we can't do that. I mean, it is just, it was, right?
It's amazing what people will war about with all types of things. You know what I mean? It is, and again, being respectful, a lot of it is, you know, in the big picture, I realize it's your home, so it's important, but it's difficult. If for anyone that's been on a homeowners association board, you might be driving right now, nodding your head, saying, I know the feeling.
Hey, one thing with associations and the old 1009 policies you got there, I will say that new rules have come out on the conventional loan side of things where they're easing up on it a little bit. So it will get a little bit easier. One of the things is that they are allowing actual cash value now on the insurance policies for the association. So that's one of the bigger ones that came out. So it's still pretty strict if you ask me, but they are trying to lighten up or loosen up on that a little bit. So that should hopefully help that condo market out there.
Scott, a question, Mike and Brad, what years of home building should be avoided? Are there years of home building that should be avoided for any buyers looking to buy property? Thoughts on that? We're all kind of smiling.
Yeah, I mean, not to be avoided, but just to be aware of. If you're buying a property that was built between 1993 and about 1999, trying, and I might have butchered those by a couple of years one way or the other, but it was when Category 5 came out and they started making homes so much tighter. And that was when stucco got a real bad name. Nothing wrong with stucco. It's a good exterior like anything else, but they didn't know what they were dealing with. They were building homes with Van E systems inside, which brought in the fresh air from outside, kicked out the stale. So basically you created a vacuum in a house that was never created before. So if you put a little bead of water across the windows, it would suck it behind the stucco. So just be aware, if you're buying a house built between 93 and 99-ish, that you could have some stucco problems, which is really moisture problems.
Mike, any thoughts? You work with a lot of builders, a lot of new construction. Anything you're seeing on files?
I mean, nothing recently. You know what I mean? No big issues. It was the old 90s stucco thing. Yeah, like, it's like we all started nodding our head as soon as that came out. It's like, yeah, 90s stucco. That's like the first thing that pops in our minds.
Yeah,
Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance. He's, again, if you go to MN Real Estate Show, you can find all of our great partners. These are not just random people that we've found. These are trusted partners that have helped our clients, most importantly, and agents on the Minnesota real estate team as we're going through and working with buyers, sellers, investors. Brad Sanford, Farmers Insurance, is our insurance partner. And Brad, again, we were talking about an important topic regarding fires. Other thoughts for folks? I know you're busy. You got a lot going on with Farmers.
So for the age question that you just asked, a lot of carriers are asking, has the HVAC and the roof and those type of things been updated in the last 30 years? There are carriers out there that will go back to 1890. You're paying a little bit more of a premium for that. Commercially, there are a lot of carriers that will not write a building that's over 50 years old. Some won't write over 30, and then there's some that will go later. But then you're talking about a non-admitted, which makes the price automatically higher. So there's a lot there. Sorry, go ahead.
Will you pay more, Brad? Let's say you're buying that 1910 duplex in Minneapolis that's been renovated. Are you going to pay more on insurance inherently on that versus something more modern?
Yes, it will be. It won't be dramatically more, but they will, because of the risk of it being a 1910 and having to convert it from the old electrical that they did. Did they do everything correctly? Those types of things. It will be a little bit higher premium. And one of the things that I've noticed recently is when you're doing appraisals and you're like I do analysis of commercial buildings, the price per square foot has increased dramatically. So as we sell homes and as the value of homes go up, what it costs to rebuild them has gone up, which in turn makes the value of your home to replace higher than what the market value is.
So. Peter just texted and said, I like being on an HOA board.
Well, Peter, that's sweet.
That's a gift.
I think for some people, we've all had clients like this. We've all had extremely analytical engineer type brain clients that are now going to go into association. And I tell every single one of them, get on the board.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because it'll drive you crazy if you're not. Be the one that's in charge of the craziness. Be the one that's the Ryan O'Neill that gets the call from the Waltons that their next door neighbor's garage door has been open 2 inches for the last month and they can't sleep. I mean, that's literally right. That's literally what you get.
Yeah, it is. It can be a variety of different things. As a business person, if you think about, I think what can be hard sometimes is when there's a board or a group making decisions, and if you unilaterally can't make a decision, I'm trying to think what business it was, where they talked about this, the CEO was stepping down, and there was a lot of pressure from the board because the CEO felt like he could not make decisions. And I think what's hard about sometimes a board is when there's eight cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I want to do it this way. No, Brad, let's do it this. I do that. And versus having the ability to move and having some trust. I don't know, Brad, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I used to run a bank, and so I can tell you that happens all the time. You get people that think you should be doing one thing, and you know that you should be doing another. And when you bring people on a board, you're bringing them on for different reasons, to make your company better, not to necessarily run the bank. So, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, my dad was a full colonel in the military. And when he got out of the military, the biggest problem he had with being in the you know, he was an upper manager at a hospital, is in the military, everybody comes in with their suggestions. They tell him what to do. He reviews them and says, we're going to go this way. And then everybody involved gets behind it. And he said, in the normal human way, that's not what happens. Yeah. Everybody still has their idea of what they think's better, so everybody doesn't get behind it. He had a real struggle with that, and that's an association board. Because there isn't a final decision maker, really. It's a board of people that are supposed to get together, and it's like a marriage. At some point, somebody has to make a decision. It has to be made.
Yeah.
And so who is that person going to be?
And Scott, are you going to start your, I think at some point, your relationship show? We've talked about your podcast with your dear mother.
I would love
your dear mother.
I would love to do that. Like I've said, not sure how many people would listen to it. I've been divorced twice and I have no formal training, so I'm not sure that a relationship show would be that big of a hit. But along those lines, two truths and a lie.
Yeah, hold on. We got a break.
When we get back, two truths and a lie from all of us.
We're up at a break. Before we break, though, I've got one listing in Rogers, 13297 Aspen Drive in Rogers. Sue Marty has this one listed. It's a 5-bed, 4-bath home in Rogers. It's on a corner lot surrounded by parks. There's a 1/3 acre. It's a fenced-in yard, a hardwood flooring throughout the main floor. You've got a spacious living room, a gas fireplace, 4 bedrooms upstairs with a primary owner's suite with a separate soaker tub, and the 5th bedroom is downstairs with a large family room as well. After the break as well, I wanted to touch on, it was a pretty cool email. I know Mike won't do it, so I'm going to talk about it. Mike got a pretty good email I wanted to share with our listeners. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you listening. Hope your weekend is going well. Wanted to just share an email that Mike Overson got this week from a customer. Just said, hey Mike, thanks so much for reaching out. I wanted to thank you and Jason Walgrave. 9 years ago, I was listening to your radio show, Minnesota Home Talk, when you guys were talking about refinancing your home and using the money to buy rental properties. We did that. With you, was able to buy 3 duplexes in the Fort Myers area. Jason helped us find a realtor. The 3 duplexes valued at $550,000. They are now worth about $1.2 million with gross monthly rentals of $8,000 a month. 9 years ago, I had very little in retirement savings. Now at 72 years old, I have enough for my wife and I to be able to pass on to our children. Thank you, Mike and Jason. Really nice message from Keith. Mike, example of just the great work you do. You've been doing, obviously, on the radio with us forever. Luminate Bank is a local bank. You're trusted by all the various real estate agents and brokers and teams, all the big hitters, all the friends from the various companies here in town. Kudos to you, my friend. That's a really nice email we got.
Just shows, you know, we kind of know what we're doing. Doing it for a little, we kind of know what we're doing. We're happy to give friendly advice and help lead people along the way. So it's not just, hey, I'm your realtor today, and once you close, you know, I don't know you anymore. Like, we want to be relational, right? We want to be your real estate agent for you and your kids and their grandkids, right? And I want to be your lender for you and your family and friends. So, just shows that it can be done.
Yeah, Brad at Sanford Farmers Insurance, we've talked about a few different things today. We've talked about regarding fires. Any other thoughts you have kind of from an insurance standpoint for folks?
Well, I think I want to congratulate Mike. If you needed a reason to buy real estate, I think you just heard it, right? As far as insurance, I've seen a lot of carriers getting back into the Minnesota market. A lot of times I'll get emails and they'll say, hey, this carrier is available, and then it won't have a Minnesota as available. But now there are a lot more carriers that are available. So make sure that you talk to your agent and make sure you have the best policy.
Yeah, best way for people to reach you, Brad, you and your awesome team.
The team, yes, Minnesota Real Estate Team. You can in the real estate show, you can go online, you can look up insurance, and you can see my ugly mug, and you can reach me there.
MNRealEstateShow.com. Before you try to drag us to the end of the show, which I know is what you're trying to do, two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie. Hey, before we do that, I did have a comment, as this came in this week, regarding, I don't know if everyone saw the news that came out regarding Japan. is placing a multi-billion dollar bet on the housing market. And it came out and it said that Japanese home builders have been tiptoeing into the U.S. housing market with a lot of acquisitions of private American construction companies. So they're making a bet on the United States.
That it's going to keep booming.
Interesting. Yeah. It's interesting for a lot of maybe the folks thinking, hey, you know, prices can't keep rising. Any quick thoughts on that, guys?
My immediate thought is that the reason that they're going – now, it doesn't affect Minnesota as much because our regulations are state-run, so we still have all the fees and everything else when you build a house. But in a lot of other states, all those costs, that 20-30% of fees when you build a house, are starting to go away. So it'd be interesting to see where Japan is buying these building companies because, yeah, I mean, if you have 20% less – what's the word I'm looking for in it – all margin. The garbage in there that's in
regulation costs.
Yeah, regulation costs. When you remove that, it becomes cheaper to build.
Mike, Luminate Bank, your savings account had a question. Is paying out, is it 3%?
3.5%. So checking's paying out 2%, savings paying out 3.5%. If you're going to do a mortgage with us and you open up an account and you slide at least $2,500 into that account, we'll give you $400 off your closing costs. If you slide $100,000 over to our bank, we'll give you $1,000 off closing costs. So I have actually three people closing here in the next 10 days that they have taken their money out of the big box banks because you don't get any interest there at the big box. They've slid them over into our savings account. They're going to get $1,000 credit over there on their closing costs, and they're going to be making 3.5% on that money.
Nice.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting. They're a local company. They're a local bank, a wonderful organization here. That's why we've partnered with them here at the show and the team as well. Mike, two truths and a lie.
Oh, boy. Two truths and a lie. Okay.
Scott.
I've been doing home loans for 22 years.
Home loans for 22 years.
My truck actually went through the ice fishing this year, which I did not tell my wife because she'd freak out.
Your truck went through the ice.
Went through the ice fishing.
Oh, my gosh. Your trunk.
And I didn't tell her because I knew she would freak out. And then three, I'm the only boy in a family with four kids.
Okay, I will take first. I think the lie is it's not that I don't believe your truck went through the ice. That could definitely happen, but you would not tell your wife, so I think that's the lie.
Yeah.
I think the other two are the truths.
There's no way your truck went through the ice, and Jen doesn't know about it. Brad, what do you think? You got thoughts on that one?
The only boy.
Only boy, Rye?
I think the truck.
Truck.
Yeah, it's a truck. I've never gone through the ice. No. I've never gone through the ice.
I can't imagine Mike Overson.
Well, I can't imagine not telling his wife.
I wouldn't, though. If I went through, I wouldn't because she wouldn't let me take my boys ice fishing again. So, and plus, I keep bragging. I'm like, hunt. She's like, there's only 10 inches of ice out there. Are you sure it's safe? Babe, I've never gone through the ice, right? I'm that guy where I've never gone through the ice. And she's like, well, as soon as you say that, you're going to go through it. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
so. Well, Mike is the guy that unplugs the toaster.
That's correct. Yeah, so he's not going through the ice. That was easy.
Hey, Ryan Perpich, Rye, come on. We want our listeners to get to know this guy that has to deal with us every weekend.
Two truths and a lie. I've never seen Jurassic Park.
Never seen Jurassic Park.
I had gray hair in elementary school, and I was born in Edina.
Oh, born in Edina.
So we'll try to pick out the lie. The lie is you were not. Oh my gosh, you were not born in Edina.
No. Nope.
I'll say the gray hair one.
Nope.
No. No. Rye.
We'll say the third one.
I've never seen Jurassic Park.
She's never seen Jurassic Park.
So you did have great. You had gray hair grade school.
Oh, you've never seen Jurassic Park.
You're more amazed by that. I know.
Hey, I'm amazed by the gray hair in grade school.
Rye, have you seen The Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, I have.
Good.
Yes, that's a good one.
Good. Scott, have you?
Yeah, of course I haven't. I can't believe that there's a human being that's not seen Jurassic Park.
I know.
That had gray hair. When
hey, Brad. Brad Sanford. Come on. Two truths and a lie, Brad. Here we go. Come on. Step up. Don't be bashful.
I am bashful. Let's see. Played college football.
Okay, number one.
Love being a part of the Minnesota real estate team.
Love being part of the Minnesota real estate team.
And still have my securities license.
And I still have your
securities license. So let me see. The two.
Football. So you played football in college.
Well, I know he played football in college.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah.
But I'd say he's not part of the Minnesota real estate
he
team.
He said he loves, though. He enjoys it.
So that's, I would say he does not have his securities license anymore.
Yeah, Mike, what do you think, Mike?
Yep. Securities license.
No securities
what I'm going
license.
With.
See, it's too easy, right? Yeah, I had it, and I let it go. Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
Two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie.
Well, I don't know. We're running out of time here. Ryan might skate away.
All right, be quick.
Two truths and a lie. I lived 1 year during college in Innsbruck, Austria.
Okay.
My dear father was a lifelong attorney.
Okay.
And I, in my 20s, at one point, I thought about becoming a Catholic priest.
Okay. I will say, you did not think about becoming a Catholic priest, although you're pretty close to it as it is. I will say you did not live in Austria.
Oh, did it? Oh, look at this. We're up. Hey.
What is it?
It was actually three truths.
Oh, gosh.
Three truths. I lived in Innsbruck, Austria. Can you believe it, Ryan?
No.
You move into Austria. Hey, it's been a fun show. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy this weekend. Happy Easter. Bye-bye.